Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 36. The glory of the Lord Jesus as King and Head of the Body of Christ or the Church of Christ. Topic, F. The Church is the body of Christ and never the head of the body. One way to clarify a series of characteristics of what the Church of Christ is, in essence, is to see the equivalence that it has with its exposure also as the body of Christ made up of people who believe in Christ Jesus and who have Him as the Lord of their lives. When, however, someone also intends to move further towards the objective of seeing the main characteristics of the functioning of the Church of Christ, it is essential that the position of Christ, as the head of his body or his church, also is understood clearly or soberly. The aspect that Christ is the head of his body, or of his church, needs to be repeatedly mentioned, for although many people pronounce it with their mouths, many of them, in the daily practice of life, do not indeed believe in this position of Christ. Many people who claim to be Christians are not even aware that Christ is the head of their personal lives, and even less are they aware that Christ is the one head of his whole body and his entire church. Other people, on the other hand, even claim to understand some aspects of the individual and personal direction that Christ offers towards each person and for every marriage established according to the principle of God, but they are still persistent in wanting to argue that they need other Christians who are like leaders over their lives and who lead the meetings or the collective coexistence of Christians. In other words, several times, the same individuals who say that Christ is enough to direct the life of each person are the same ones who say that the members of the body or church of Christ also need mediators, or at least they need mediators for the collective aspects. They try to sell the idea that Christians need mediators who speak on behalf of a group of Christians when it comes to their collective expression or the mutual relationship of the members of the body or church of Christ. Nevertheless, the scriptures do not inform us that Christ is only the head of the members of his body and that he is not the head of their collectivity. On the contrary, the scriptures teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of his body in the total or collective sense and that he is the head of each of the members of his body, being, therefore, also the head of his entire church. Colossians 1:18-20. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Considering that the Church of Christ is the set of the members of his church and that Christ is the head of each member, this shows us that the matter of Christ being head also of his body from the collective perspective is inseparable from the point of him being head concerning each member. When people think of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as an institution or as a group of people on earth that they need to join as members while living in the present world, it is also when they run into the risk of thinking institutionally according to the human institutions that need or demand leaders, statutes, or earthly norms to operate. The Church of Christ, however, exists independently of the human concept of institution, leadership, statutes, and the definitions and constitutions of its assemblies. If, for example, there is only one Christian in a city, the Church of the Lord is already present in that city, and Christ can perfectly guide this Christian without having to establish another head over him. Similarly, if there are two Christians in this place who know each other and communicate as brothers in Christ, the Church is not only already in that city, but it also already gathers there through the fellowship that one brother has with the other, and this without needing leadership among them, for Christ said, Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. In saying that he is in the midst of those who gather in his name, Christ shows us why he is and can be Lord of his own body or his church also in the collective aspect. Regarding the last verse quoted above, we remember that the text needs to be adequately seen so that a person does not come to think that the church is the very meeting of two, three, or more. The church are the individuals who come together, each having Christ individually as the Lord of one's life, which is why Christ manifests himself in their midst. When two or three Christians are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, they are holding a meeting of those who are already church. And this refers only to a meeting of the Church of Christ, highlighting, once again, that the meeting, in itself, is not the church itself. We also remember again that the Church of Christ in a place or a city are the individuals who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have Christ in their hearts as the Lord and head of their lives. And this is what characterizes a person to be the Church of Christ, a member of the body of Christ, or part of the family of God. Now, whether in a city or place there is only one member of the body of Christ, whether it has two members, whether it has thousands of members, or whether the members of this place meet all and know each other. Or, yet, whether they are in different places and many do not even know who the other Christians in the same region in which they live are, the church continues to have the characteristic of being made up of all Christians who are directly linked to the head, just as it continues to have the feature of having one and only head, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether the church is small or large, in terms of the number of members in any specific place, it remains the body of Christ. And Christ remains the head of this body whether the members are separated in their most diverse activities or when the members are in some joint activity. Even if the Church of Christ would come to constitute most of the inhabitants of a place or a city, it would still be only the body of Christ, not the head of the body, because Christ is the only head of his church. A small or a large collectivity can never make the Church of Christ reach the status of being a little or a lot the head of the body or the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ simply did not receive the vocation to be the head of itself neither in small nor in large parts or in matters related to the members of which it is composed. When we see God's promise that Christians who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will also reign in life, we should never forget that a Christian only reigns when one is in Christ and through Christ, which also applies to the whole Church of Christ who is essentially the individuals that are in Christ. A Christian only becomes able to reign according to God's will over situations in one's life through the head of the whole church. Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The matter of the Church of Christ not being called to be head of itself, nor of small parts of itself, should be very well established in the understanding of a Christian, for many people, in many ways, do not want to conform to this reality and seek to corrupt in various ways the vocation of the Church of Christ to be a body and not a head. And a practical matter of what is being said in these last paragraphs, for example, is that since the Church of Christ is the body and not the head of the body, the church is also not entitled to speak in the name of the church to its members or to those who are outside, to the world, for this position is not conferred on it by Christ and because the only name by which the church can speak in truth is the name of its only head, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trying to do something in the name of the church is a very critical attempt to distort the command of the body, for those who try to say that they speak in the name of the church are trying to affirm that the church has independent authority over its members. And with this, they try to assert that the church became the head instead of Christ. Thus, they try to affirm that the body can take the place of Christ when part of this body sees fit for it to do so, without, however, being authorized for this by Christ or by God. When, in the previous topic, we addressed the aspect of marriage and family, We mentioned that the house never received from God the vocation to designate what each member of the house should be and do in life, for the definitions of the functioning of the house are given to the family by the head of the family and individually of each of its members, namely again, the Lord Jesus Christ. The house has a vocation to help and to serve those who build it, but it does not have a God-given call to be the head of its members, which also applies to the Church of Christ since it is also called the House of God. When people, in the name of the Church, begin to tell members what they should do or why that house or church works in one way or another, it is because those people withdrawal from Christ has already become very pronounced. Besides, the Church has no authorization from God to have its own doctrine, for the doctrine of the Church should always be to follow the doctrine of Christ, its unique head. When a group of people begins to compile their own doctrine, it is the doctrine of men and women that this group is leaning towards and not Christ, even if the doctrine that the group says it follows has large parts of the Scriptures. In the previous chapter, when discussed the matter of a couple constituting a house, we saw that the house might want to become a concept by which people begin to try to govern and command the house itself. But just as the house or home should be subject to the government of the couple, so the house called the church, which is the group of people who individually have Christ in their hearts, should also always be subject to Christ as the one head of this house. Even often, groups of people may come to think that the church, the house of God, in its collective aspect has a collective vocation to govern itself and its members, but this is simply not found in the New Covenant because the New Covenant church is body and not head, having only Christ as the head over it. Considering that the church is a female figure regarding Christ and that it is also equated with the bride of Christ, when a part of the Church of Christ begins to want to command other parts of this church, that is, other people of the church, this part of the church seeks to do what we are warned by the prophet Isaiah, namely, Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people! Those who lead you cause you to err, and destroy the way of your paths. Repeating, then, once again. The house, the church, the body, the collective of members, never received from Christ the vocation to be head. And when a group insists on wanting to be head, it destroys the way or the paths of those who allow themselves to be guided by the house or the supposed church, which in this way, if it remains on this path, also ceases to be, in essence, a church of Christ and becomes an odd body of people guided by people, blind people driving other blind individuals, people without a head leading other people without a head, being a church yes, but not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.